You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Happy New Year. We made it. For those of us that made it into 2025, I'm telling you, rolling out of 2024 was so weird. Before I go on and we really get into talking about, you know, what happened over the weekend, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of information in the news, all kinds of stuff going on. But today I have a different kind of subject for you. So let's get into it. Before I go on, drum roll, I want to still announce, so proud to have certified senior specialist, certified senior specialist, probate and real estate, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker. Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker. Again, he is our sponsor now. I'm so happy. He is a senior real estate and probate specialist for Coldwell Banker. If you want to reach out to him, you take a hike, you call Kevin Pike. You get on a bike, call Kevin Pike. And he's somebody you can like. His name is Kevin Pike. So anyway, I was trying to think of something clever to say, but at any rate, love him dearly. Kevin Pike, again, our sponsor, 50 Minutes of Show. Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Again, 818-571-1508. Now let's get into today's topic. So today, I want to talk about the differences between AI versus telepathy. So let me give you a rundown. AI is a, how do I say it? It's a set of technologies that enable computers to, you know, perform a variety of advanced functions, pick up data, pick up voices, sounds. It can mimic things. As we know, AI is very prevalent right now. Avatars are AI. It can mimic facial expressions, different things like that. As a matter of fact, UCLA here in Los Angeles has a whole robotics and I believe it's called robotics and cyber physical program at UCLA that does nothing but develop different technologies for, you know, for the AI movement and in progression. Telepathy, on the other hand, is a supposed form of communication, transferring thoughts, images, and ideas without the use of words. So it goes more into parapsychology, you know, telekinesis, telepathy, psychic realm. All of those things are part of metaphysical pool, but in terms of how they are categorized in science, they are called parapsychology, things that are unseen. You know, you can't hear them. They don't have necessarily a physical form, but they still emit energy. So, for instance, let me give you an example. So we all go out and buy rings, watches, and all these things all the time. Well, the little crystals and little stones and things like that they put in watches and rings and different jewelry, those things do carry a small charge, not as strong of a charge as maybe the sun, you know, or as strong of a pull as maybe the moon. As we know, the moon has a great pulling effect upon the water, menstrual cycles for women, all kinds of things that the moon affects. And our bodies are made up of, 74% water? So we also are pulled by those powerful magnetic rays of the moon and the sun. So now I was posing the question, can AI mimic sign language? Like if somebody is deaf and they only speak sign, or someone that knows how to speak sign, can it do things like that? Is it possible that it could have consciousness, or that AI can gain consciousness? That this is a deep, something deep, so I'm going to get into a little bit more. But before I go there, let me tell you guys what happened to me over the weekend. So over the weekend, I was running around crazy, not necessarily buying things, but just trying to get out in traffic and do my normal routine of errands. I'm not really a big holiday celebrator, and this holiday, it was a different kind of holiday for me. So I stayed pretty much quiet, and I am, as I've told you, great keeper of my own company, even though I'm quite social and love to talk to people and be out and about. But anyway, I was walking, got out of my car. There was a tall, young black kid. Didn't look bad or anything. Had a, kind of good looking, but kind of walking around. And he started following me from my car. There were all these cars wrapped around the corner going in to In-N-Out Burger. Okay. I went over there to get a lettuce and a tomato. A lettuce and tomato sandwich, which they wrap in a little cute little sleeve that you can hold like you're holding a sandwich, but there's no bread. It's simply lettuce with Thousand Island dressing and some tomatoes, and you can get some fries. So you can throw the fries in there and make that kind of, I don't know. But anyway, that's what I was going over there for. I just needed to grab something to put on my stomach until I get better. So anyway, he starts in the middle of all these people. Hey, you! Hey, you, I want to talk to you. I'm like, okay, is he talking to me or who is he talking to? Then he starts picking up speed and starts walking really fast to approach me. I get nervous. I run into In-N-Out Burger and walk up to the counter and say, look, some guy is following me. I don't know what he wants, but he keeps saying, I want to talk to you. I'm here. I'm trying to help you. 5 minutes after I said, about 2 or 3 minutes after I say that, the guy shows up in the In-N-Out store and he looks at me like he's disappointed that I reported him. Now, back in my unhealed days when I was kind of unhealthy emotionally, not necessarily blaming anyone, but more blaming myself. One of those people very turn in on yourself, very guilt ridden. You want to kill yourself. And one of those kind of people more so than turning it out on other people. But anyway, I probably would have entertained that guy and turned around and started talking to him. I've talked to many people that are drug addicts, people that are alcoholics, people like that are out on the streets. When I was going through a rough time here in LA and I didn't really have a cemented grounding place and I didn't really have one steady place to live. I was kind of like a bohemian, living from place to place, begging friends for help, things like that. I've been through those phases in my life. And I probably would have entertained him back in those days when I was unhealed. But now that I've done quite a bit of work over time, that work has shown to prove to be correct because my life is slowly elevating. I didn't do that. I felt a little scared, which I've really never kind of felt before. I was like, wow, that's interesting. But I wanted to share that with you guys. So really be careful out there. People that are very bright, our auras are bright and we look kind and generous and hi, I'm the, a walking angel on earth. And, you may not see my wings and I'm not human, but I look human. And, all of those kind of languages that we can emit because we're emitting certain all different messages are coming from our being and they're all different. Probably on different timelines, different spaces. We're thinking about one thing inside of our head and then we're talking about something else out there with other people. But just be careful out there. There's a lot going on. It is not, I would say that the society is in its most destructive phase while at the same time, it's in its most productive phase. So let me get back to technology. So while this was going on, when I finally got back to my car and I stayed in there and rather than go in my car and hang out and talk on the, do some business and eat in there, I stayed in In-N-Out until I felt perfectly safe that it was safe to go out. But wow, it was scary. And I am not 25. I do not feel like running from somebody in public that I don't even know. And they got some kind of bug, some kind of attached. They feel some kind of energy that feels familiar. And here they go. But anyway, so I was thinking while, sitting there, I wonder if AI can gain consciousness, and if it can, could it attach to people, persons, things, places? The movie, The Manchurian Candidate, which the one I saw the original, but the one I see that sticks most to mind is the one with Denzel Washington, Liev Schreiber, and Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep plays Liev Schreiber's mother. And they're all military guys, and they get programmed. That's what Manchurian Candidate is about, this programming. And what they use is familiar phrases, like the mother talking to Liev Schreiber. Familiar tones and sounds, like, you know, they take cues and everything from people's, certain parts of people's personalities and then program them. In their cases, I don't know. I can't remember if they had a chip or something they put in them, but some kind of way they were able to tap into their mental state of mind and program them to think, act, and behave. So I got to thinking about that. And right now, even if you don't understand, let me just try to help you understand. Thoughts are, they are energy. You can write a thought down, but there is no physical thing called a thought. It's something that appears in the mind. Where it comes from, who knows? It could have come from something someone saw on a television, something heard in conversation, something deeper, dreams, whatever that can produce a thought. But they also are fleeing from one moment to the next. So we may have a big rash amount of thoughts that come in and then they go out all of a sudden. Or if you, depending on your state of maturity, what you do for grounding mental states, some people meditate. A lot of people may drink coffee to be awake and alive. I don't need any of those things. I was like, oh gosh, I have too much energy. But anyway, and certain things to keep our mind constantly on some kind of programmable thread. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, wonder if this is true. Wonder if, like, drones, wonder if the human being can be programmed and made to do things against their will, depending on the person doing the programming, the person doing the remote viewing or viewing, and those sorts of things. So back to AI. So AI can now mimic conversation, the way you sound, your voice. It may not be able to mimic all of your body parts. Like, I'm the only person other than somebody that might have seen me naked, or someone that might have seen parts of my body that, you know, the public might not have seen. They can't mimic that. They don't know what I have, you know, under my clothes. Or if they do know what I have under my clothes, there's still certain kinds of things that can be mimicked but not mimicked. If you're a person that changes constantly and people can't keep up with you, you might talk like real fast. Sometimes you may talk slow or whatever. It's a harder time to make the mimic because you're not a cookie cutter. You're not a person that follows conventional methods of doing things. You have your own way of thinking. You have your own way of being, your own way of doing. It may be harder to mimic. But at the same time, we all have channels of energy. Visible or not, go get a red roll of film. They do sell red film. And what it does is it's called Kirlian photography. You can look it up. Kirlian photography is a heightened level of light that can pick up fragments of color, sound, all kinds of things around a person, around a field of energy. And it's been proven time and time again that we all emit a certain field of energy, whether we understand that or not. I think I can make an example that when we are around certain people, we may feel repelled or attracted, like move back, or somebody gets in your field, you move sideways or something to determine that someone has stepped into your field of personal space. So drones have been used to transfer information. As I said, UCLA, I'm sure USC, all of them have robotic and cyber physical and departments now where they are studying these things. This is the wave of the future. So I have friends that say, you know, and they're in certain age brackets that say, well, I don't need a, I don't need to use a computer and I don't need that. And what's going to happen is the same thing that happened with a horse and buggy. There'll be people that will fight to the end to keep things the way they used to be. And things are just not the way they used to be. And I don't think they're ever going to be the way they used to be. Although we certainly can make adjustments to the way things are now. So let's just imagine, and this is being done again with AI. Let's just imagine that someone has been able to, because they know technology or they know how to interface on some of the Photoshop programs and things like that, that you can take and try to piece someone together and make yourself or someone else appear to be someone that they're not. There's still, I mean, for those of you, I love, this is why I like forensics and things that even though people may call themselves doing things like mimicking money, you know, like doing counterfeit money, but that's got old. That's why people don't do counterfeit money anymore, because it doesn't work anymore. So just like someone is able to use technology to do dark things or to manipulate and do things on the internet that are against the law, you know, things like that. They also have within police departments and special teams of forensics and things like that, that not only they can tell what's been done, they can trace back to where the source is. So again, I think it's pretty, I don't think it, to me, it lacks common sense and intelligence, a certain type of intelligence to try to do things that, may, you know, unless you're an FBI agent or somebody that knows high level cybersecurity. I have some, you know, friends that do know that. They, you know, they're senior security managers and stuff. So they've done everything from the Pentagon and things like that, where they have to really, in case of emergencies and things like that, really know how to lock down our security so that our systems are not messed with by outside forces, by other countries, etc. So back to AI, how much can AI really do? So let's just say you're walking down the street and all of a sudden your mind goes from something that you normally think about to something that you never think about. Like, well, where did that come from? That's not even me. That could be a form of manipulation where someone's trying to penetrate your thoughts with either trying to put intense thinking on something like, I'm going to think the apple is red over and over and over and over and over and over and over until I truly believe that the apple is red over and over and over and over and over. Now, mind you, you might not have ever seen anything but green apples, depending on where you grew up, what part of the world you live in. But in fact, there are red apples, you know. So let's just say someone has that thread of thinking going over and over and over again, and they're putting that out. Pretty soon, the thought form or the energetic field, which is what AI and telepathy pick up, they're picking up an energetic field. AI is picking it up as physical data, something that, you know, on those needles you see on lie detector, going all these different, even there, come on, you guys. Where do you think the imprint is coming from? Where do you think those waves of energy is coming from, like a radio wave, a sound wave? They're being emitted by people, places, and things. So people, I would say, we have more charge than anything else because we have free will. We're able to move about. We have cars, different ways of doing things. That we have our functioning abilities. We're able to walk, talk, speak, feel, hear, you know, things like that. But then there are those that have I would say an extra sense of perception. Some of it is intense focus, like being able to pay so close attention that you can silence everything else and pick up different forms of energy from the environment, like thought forms. Again, we walk around every day and are like I said this before, radio signals, sending out, receiving, sending out, receiving, sending out, receiving, sending out, receiving. depending on who we're around, what our information is, and we have the news, we receive that, we take that in. What do we do with it? Depend on the kind of people we are, the level of education, what we deem to be important, you know, things like that. Sending out and receiving, sending out and receiving. So there's no wonder that AI would possibly have a chance to mimic those things. Let's just say we put a highly, much like this camera sitting here, where I, you know, it's a Panasonic. Yeah, I know a lot about cameras. I happen to be a professional and photojournalist and photography, but I don't know how to, let's just say you bought an NBC camera with all those big cables and things like that, that they run at the big, big studios. I wouldn't have a clue. But it doesn't mean to say that there are people out there that run these kind of cameras and equipment that do have a clue. So what I'm trying to say is that each of us specialize in our various forms of talent and the things that we do. So there are people that specialize in trying to do mind programming, specialize or try to specialize in trying to manipulate people's thoughts, the way they think and ideas and things like that. AI can do that to a certain degree. Again, I'm going back into what I've said before. We have not even tapped into the human mind, people. We haven't even tapped. We're still on basic 5. Some people 6. A very few at 7, and even less at 8, 9, or 10. They're probably not human at this point. But anyway, let's just say back to basic human beings, seeing, touching, feeling, smelling, you know, you come home, you know, it's sex, you have some kind of vice, either alcohol, food, you know, maybe people talking on the telephone, reading books or whatever the vice is. They're all different things. Some of those vices are healthy, some are not. Most in our cases are not. But anyway, so let's just say, you know, we have a lot of that going on in an environment, and at all times, we are reading, sending and receiving, picking up thoughts. If we are ungrounded and we don't know who we are, meaning that our thoughts are not solid, they can be moved. Somebody can come and tell you this. You know, I was walking down the street the other day, and a saber-toothed tiger ran across the street, jumped on top of a car, and ran through a building. Now, someone with common sense would know that, number one, there's hardly ever a situation that saber-toothed tigers would be coming out in the middle of the day. That's a person that holds their own faculties to hand. You know, they stand in their own light. You know, they have their own mind. They're not easily manipulated. But then you have those people that are on the, they're already tittering and tottering. Maybe they do too much. They overindulge in drinking, sex, drugs, whatever. And so those, all of those things weaken the immune system and also weaken the temperance of the human mind to be able to hold a steady kill, hold steady in times of stress. So a lot of people get under stress. It drives them to drink. It drives them to do drugs. You know, they form sex addictions. Murder addictions. I mean, addictions are deep. They run deep, and who knows what kind of motivations are behind them, or what has happened to the individual that these kinds of things have played out within their psyche. But AI has been able to mimic a great many things. I don't know about you, but I can immediately tell if something is AI. Number one, it feels and looks mechanical. It does not look, you know, it feels, and there's this little cute little black girl, whatever your name is out there, shout out. She's on one of those, it's a sports line, I believe. And she comes on, she walks out with a pair of underwear and a bra. And the cyber wardrobe person dresses her from head to toe. And she simply says, eyes, no, not that shade. Or she'll say, legs, how about I need a coat? How about I need this? I want a hat. No, not that one. Red lips. No, not red. Blue. Perfect. So she's like a cyber model, I would say, that you can just simply say what you want and the others or our forms of thought will place that or make that happen for us. So these are all possibilities of the future. Now, there's a show, for those of you that are sci-fi buffs, I'm one of them, I love every year. It's either ABC, I think it's ABC, they show the Twilight Zone Marathon. I'm right there. Twilight Zone, Outer Limits Marathon, Star Trek Marathon. They all show for us that, you know, don't go out and party, but we'd rather get into our heads and our psychics and develop some muscle in those places. But watching a little bit of sci-fi. So we're walking around every day in our perspective environments, drawing in, pulling out, sending and receiving, sending and receiving. The unstable mind is not going to be able to detect what is their own thoughts versus someone else's thoughts, especially if it's someone very distracted by outside stimuli. Children, relationships, addictions, could be work. You know, a lot of people are addicted to work, hide behind their work, hide behind jobs. Well, if I stay busy enough, I won't have to worry about what's really going on at home and I won't have to deal with it, so we can sweep it under the rug. Even those things get called to carpet. Let me tell you, they do get called to carpet. The longer you live, they will get called to the carpet. So we're back to AI. So we're in all of these different environments, moment to moment, every day, walking around, pulling in, drawing in, sending, receiving. To the minds that aren't stable, they get overstimulated, where after a while, they don't even know what their own thoughts may be. That's a person that oftentimes easily manipulated. I would say in the Manchurian Candidate, Liev Schreiber, well, both he and Denzel. If I remember, what saved Denzel was a girlfriend or someone he was connected to. Liev Schreiber, his was pretty weird because it was his mother. And, you know, jeez, damn to hell, somebody that don't like their own mama. But in his case, you know, he really loved his mother, respected her, and the mother had kind of stepped in to take over the master, the masculine part of his life by replacing that masculine energy that guides, directs, leads. Not saying women can't do it, but it's attributed to yang, and the yin is what it draws to it. So let's just say someone has a lot of yang. They're very positive, outgoing, you know, strong, assertive, drive, tendency to be a leader, get what they want done, focused and all of that. And draw into it that softer part of their personality, that yin, the soft part, the compassionate part, the loving, caring, nurturing part of things. And let's just say they've drawn in too much of one thing and not the other, and so it creates an imbalance. Well, the person's easily manipulated because they're too kind-hearted. They give too much. They over-nurture. They over-give because they want to please and want to be liked and want to be loved, and they don't love themselves. They need validation. Let's just say AI can pick up those kind of things. Now, telepathy, on the other hand, cuts into things a little deeper. Telepathy are thought forms, are random phrases, ideas, creativity. Things that, again, exist, but there is no physical data to prove that there's telepathy. The only way I would say that there is a proof of telepathy is that one could sit at a graph that registers mental, what they call brain tapping or mind tapping. Mind tapping are little bitty wires that they set up, much like Bruce Lee used to use when he wanted to stimulate his muscles to be over powerful or over the ability to be stimulated, you know, to have his mind so focused and concentrated that when he went to kick that butt, he could do it, you know. I'm talking about that, but I'm talking about a specific kind of mapping. It's called brain mapping or mind tapping, where there are the use of sound, certain kinds of sound frequencies that elevate the mind, and they train the mind to go into different states of itself. So we have the conscious part of the mind, the subconscious part of the mind. Then we have other levels of the mind that are unknown. They do lie within the subconscious area, but if we don't deal with them every day, or we don't train, and we're not, you know, trained or reared to do those things, then I don't know how we would necessarily know about those different mental faculties. But again, we're talking about AI and telepathy. So AI is able to, because it's trained, and who is it trained by? A human being. Trained to pick up certain data, mimic different expressions, talk in different languages even. You know, and then I asked a question, what about sign? What is it going to do? Mimic the signs for sign people to know what that means? And wonder if that AI technology is faulty or faulted. If you remember, again, Rod Serling, Twilight Zone, there was one of the episodes where the captain of the ship came down. It was him and another person that came down. No, it was Star Trek, not Twilight Zone. Star Trek and Spock and Jim McKirk came down, and they were like, okay, you are a nomad. And nomad was a box with little pole, and its whole thing was to run around. See how advanced they were back then? Run around and gather data from the environment. So if nomad considered you to be a threat, you were pretty much gone. Nomad pointed the little thing, zzz, blown, gone. I am nomad. So they were trying to think of him, and Dr. Spock were trying to think of a way to mess the machine up, or where is it getting its information from? You know, let's try to do something to it so it doesn't think that it wants to kill us, or that it's in control of anything. So they start screwing with it. So, you know, it said, I am nomad. And then Captain Kirk would be like, but I am the creator. Are you nomad? Are you the creator? I am nomad. I'm nomad. And then Captain Kirk would say, oh, no, I'm the creator. I'm the creator. You are nomad. I am nomad. I am the creator. So he started confusing the machine, where it started throwing off its own synchronicity because it didn't know who it was from the beginning. It didn't know how it became a machine, why it knew certain information. All it knew was that it was a barometer to gather data, important data, in fact, from different parts of the environment, depending on where the environment was, and depending on who or what was in that environment. So again, AI versus telepathy. So telepathy, let's just say someone has negative thoughts. They don't want to take responsibility. I know oftentimes, and I'm real good about working on myself, because I do. I'm not perfect, and nobody should be perfect. But, you know, you want to be solid enough in your personality that people can say, if I said I saw who do I want to use an example? I saw I'm trying to think of somebody that wouldn't be. Oh, I know. I saw Walter Mosley and Keanu Reeves running down the street with clothes they stole from Saks Fifth Avenue out of Beverly Hills. Most people say, mm-mm. Now, I don't know all of what Walter Mosley is, who happens to be a Black author and writer who wrote Devil with a Blue Dress. Just some beautiful work. Running down the street with Keanu Reeves, who you know is an actor. And they had a bunch of stolen clothes. I would bet my life, my mama's life, my relatives' ancestors' life they would never do that. No, never do it. Seen them too many times. Watched their pattern too many times. The only way that I would think they would do something like that, if something got a hold to them and forced them to do something, they were being hunted down by demons, devils, the police department, FBI, CIA, anything like that that would be authoritative, you know, and make them do something, but on their own, nope. So there's nothing that really anybody can bring up against those type of people, because they are not, their reputation precedes them. And I don't think any sane person would ruin their reputation on a whim, and especially if they're stable and grounded type of people. Again, we're talking about the mind that can be infiltrated, so to speak. They can infiltrate that kind of mind. It never knew who it was, really, from the beginning. It has no identity of self. It's a nomad. It's a nomad. It's a nomad. Until someone says, no, I am nomad. No, you're not nomad. I'm nomad. I'm the creator. No, I'm the creator. I'm no. No, you're not nomad. I'm nomad. Until someone can get someone to come unglued because they never did the work to figure out who they were in the first place. They're still the people that their parents made them into. Their friends think they should be. Their families think they should be. The people at the job. You know, we wear all of these masks. We go to work. We're a person there. We go home. We're a person there. We go out. We're a person there. We're all of these masks. So it's hard when someone authentic comes along and they're not wearing a mask. They often seem quirky, or they don't fit in a box. They don't act like everybody else. They don't not like everybody else. And so those people are viewed as kind of strange. So again, we're talking about AI. So again, can AI grab, snatch, imprint consciousness from a person, place, or thing? Let's say we place an AI, not just a camera, but an AI with the visual ability to hear, smell, sense, whatever. And we're in a lab and the AI says, I'm going to put Osiris on a brain tap. I'm going to put a wire attachment to all the different parts of her brain. If it's a beautiful brain, the brain waves will be clear and they'll be nice and clean, sharp, where they need to be sharp. I've seen this and I do this, so I know what I'm talking about in terms of this. Real sharp, real like, much like a music scale. When the music is nice, it goes woo way up there, and then it goes little, you know, and it goes woo next, and it goes, you know, so everything, including our own brains and our bodies, has a frequency where we're sending, receiving, sending and receiving, sending and receiving, sending and receiving. Some people's send is nasty. The send is gnarly. It's got all kind of things attached to it. You know, like barnacles. To me and the other people like me, they look like barnacles, like crusty, encrusted things that have to be sawed off, scraped off, you know, put in something to dissolve. And those things are going to be like things that are probably sent telepathically. People purposely sending up and throwing their thoughts out into the environment, not thinking that it goes like this. It doesn't go like that. It goes like this in a circle. So if we're going like that, and, you know, and that's something that's harmful, or something not at the highest frequency to serve mankind or to serve humanity, it goes back to where it came from automatically. This is not anything I made up. It's just a law of life. It's a law of living, a law of life. Laws of life, they're set in place. They're not governed by mankind. So if you break a traffic law in man's world, you may or may not get caught. They may or may not have a light or a bulb on the, you know, at the intersection or whatever to catch it. But when we break multiversal, universal laws, they're not governed by mankind. They're based on actual laws that are in place for the laws of life, like universal principles. If you go to all the way up to the top of a building, try jumping off and not getting killed. I dare you. It's a law. It's called gravity. And even though we don't walk around necessarily paying attention to gravity or knowing that gravity exists, I will tell you that gravity surely exists. If you hold up something and drop it, that's gravity. If you live long enough, gravity pulls the body down. It pulls the organs down because it's gravity. It's pulling. So we have to, I would say that AI can maybe counteract gravity. It can mimic something and raise the data or level it up to present itself with certain kind of data, certain kind of functions, certain kind of expressions, things like that. Whereas telepathy, is more like it has to find a home. It has to find an open mind that's willing to entertain a thought, certain ideas, certain expressions. Because it's like, again, like using Star Trek and Twilight Zone, Outer Limits as an example. If the mind is like, here's the eye right there, the pineal gland. This is real talk. I'm not a medical doctor, but my dad was a nurse, and then I studied quite a bit, and these are things that you can go and find online. They're facts. I'm not making them up. The pineal gland is located in the frontal lobe of the brain. I think the hypothalamus part of it. So if someone gets damaged, let's just say you have a car accident or you hit your head or, you know, you're overburdened with just constant barrage of negative thinking from the time you were a child up until now. Let's just say you're 55, you know, you're 65, 75 or whatever. And we've not gone in and cleansed that area of our mind, whether it's changing mindset, finding a new program, you know, just listening to things over and over that maybe are more positive, or meeting people that talk in a positive way and emit positive energy. Unless we're doing that, the mind pretty soon will be able to be controlled and lulled by all of those things barraging it. Because it's taking in and it's not strong enough to send out and say, nuh-uh, I don't really think like that. I understand that you do, but that's not really my thoughts. So let me keep my thoughts, you retain yours. I'm going to put your thoughts here. I'm putting mine there. So I love Will Smith. I don't know Will Smith personally. I could care less about his personal life when him and that's their business. But I do like him as an actor. And I think some of the movies he's made are fine. Good movies. One of them, and one of my favorite ones, is Hitch. That's cute. It's so cute. And I wish things like that worked, but that is so cute. And then iRobot. So iRobot, AI, iRobot has to be created, their robotic department of this big company. The owner of the company and scientist chief scientist there ends up dead. Nobody knows why. They call in Will Smith. They call in one of the investigative people that actually works at the facility to come in and try to make sense of what's going on. Why is this guy dead? So anyway, soon they discover that the guy himself had started dickering around with extreme technology, advanced technology, and being made to develop a robot that actually could all of a sudden start to mimic human consciousness. I mean, so penetrative that it could go inside of the human mind and really start mimicking certain parts of the brain by creating, wavelengths, things that measure time and space, things that measure light, measure the way the brain functions. He ends up dead. Will Smith attributes it too because he never really likes robots. So he, starts putting two and two together and find out and think about, I think I don't talk to robots, they're not human, and he was going way back in his history, he couldn't heal an old wound, about a robot that actually mistakenly took a child's life, thinking that the child had a 0% or less of a percentage to live than the actual adult person who did. So he had held that against as a grudge. So anyway, back to AI. Ends up, and in case you've seen the movie, watch it. It's an old movie, so it's nothing like, oh, I'm going to blow, whatever. We're going to watch. It's an old movie. Just go Google iRobot with Will Smith. Anyway, so it turns out that one of the robots that they programmed to have three laws, actually, as they progressed in scientific technology and different advanced technology, so did the robot, Vicky. Vicky advanced as well. Vicky got so advanced that Vicky started running people. Vicky was running people at the factory, including the guy that she was running all of the different robotic programs and turning them into things that would run against a will of compassion and misunderstandings, miscommunication, where it was control and manipulation. So Will Smith figured it out. Vicky the guy that they're investigating or his death investigated, he made a special robot that not only had was programmed with the three laws, was able to function outside of those in a good, clean kind of way. So again, how does one use telepathy against AI? Can AI replicate a thought? Can it, like, I'm sitting here still, I'm not saying anything. Can it go in there and imprint my mind and think about that and find out what I'm thinking? I doubt it at this point. You know, I doubt it. I don't know. I'm not advanced into advanced cybernetics or advanced, you know, I'd like to say to advanced telekinesis, are those people that can move objects with their mind. Their mind is so focused and so concentrated that they can literally lift. The only person that I know that has ever been heard of or scientifically studied would be Yuri Geller, a guy out of Russia, many, many, many years ago. But then again, Russia and Russia in particular, this is online, trained a lot of people in the science and technology of remote viewing. And remote viewing is being able to project the mind or state of being or consciousness into a different location, into a different setting, into a mind or whatever. Again, if the mind is strong and knows what it is and is functioning at a higher level, chances are things like that won't work because the person is actually in control of their own being and their own state of mind. They're actively awake. Where are conscious? Whereas somebody that not really actively awake, maybe their thoughts are subdued by liquor, drugs, you know, medicine sometimes can kind of thwart the person in the natural senses, you know, kind of slow it down, make it like, you know, like two like that. You know, maybe those things can happen. So I just want you guys to think about that. Think of how much. So when you go online and you're using AI and different things to cut around and try to, you know, mimic things and all of that, just think about what you're really doing. Because just like you think that you can mimic things and control things, and just like we think that, there are certain aspects of the military and those aspects of society that we have no privy to. I'm a military person. I know what I'm talking about. That are very, very advanced, my dears out there. And that just like you think you're doing something in secret or we think we're doing something in secret, they can trace all of those things. There are some of people that take it in stride, I mean, live to bust people, you know, to find out who's been doing wrong and, you know, who's sending out what kind of thing and what they're trying to sign, and it may not be their name or, you know, any of those kind of things can all be detected now. It's kind of hard to get away with anything right about now. So that's been our show today. Don't forget our sponsor, Senior Specialist in Real Estate and Probate Management, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. He'll be more than happy to help you take care of any and all of your needs. And don't forget about me. Push the like button on my YouTube channel, 15 Minutes to Show. Come and check me out here. I don't know if we can get notes here, but I have a Facebook page. You know, things like that. You guys can always hit me up online and let me know what you think about what I'm up here talking about. Next week, we will have a guest. And I just didn't want to bother people during the holiday season. And, you know, I like to talk to you sometimes without anybody being here. So that's for that. Don't forget, 15 Minutes to Show, YouTube, Express, inabstract.net, my website and blog, ANKH, the word entertainment, the word one.net. And don't forget to smile, because a smile, what? It works wonders. Bye-bye. Bye. Happy New Year. Bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.